Hey, good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. Kyle High with you this morning, and I hope you are doing well out there. And joining us in studio today for Green Side Up is Jesse Gilmore. And Jesse, good morning. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing pretty good. It feels good to be back in the office after the Christmas holiday.
Absolutely. So, and it's good to have you in studio today. Wendy Powell, she just walked in, and we'll find out what she's talking about here in a little bit. And there is Wendy. So, all right. Jesse, we'll go ahead and start with you this morning. And what is your subject for today?
So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about starting seeds. Usually in the winter months, you can start seeds early in order to get a head start on vegetable gardening when the weather turns more favorable. Typically, this will be done in some kind of mud room or south-facing window for maximum light. The first step to starting seeds is obviously to find seeds, and you can use seeds from previous growing seasons, or you can purchase them in seed catalogs. Personally, I'm a huge fan of seed catalogs. I love looking through the pictures of what the crop is going to look like, even if I don't end up planting that particular thing. Heirloom catalogs in particular are a ton of fun to look through, even if I don't end up buying stuff. Being able to purchase the seeds is typically, I would say, what most people do. Seed saving is a little technical for the average gardener, because there are a few steps to take in order to make sure that your seeds remain viable, and it varies from crop to crop. So there's a lot of different things to keep in mind if using seed from previous growing seasons. Like if you had tomatoes and you took the seeds out of your tomato fruits and basically cleaned them off so that the gelatin like substance that surrounds the seeds is not there anymore, and then store them in a cool, dry place. Typically, seeds will last or will remain viable, meaning that they will germinate when you plant them for 2 to 3 years. But again, that is kind of dependent on what you want to grow. Carrots and seeds in the carrot family will be much shorter lived, 1 to 2 years max, and then their germination rate just plummets. So germination rate is arguably the most important thing to look for when it comes to buying seeds. Germination is where the dormancy on the seed has been broken and it starts its active growing cycle. There are a couple different dormancies for garden seeds that could be there. The first is temperature, where they have to get up to a certain temperature before they will germinate. There are also seeds that have a dormancy called stratification, where the seeds must be exposed to a certain amount of cold weather before they will germinate. One good example of that is pawpaw seeds, where they have to be exposed to about 1,000 hours of temperatures between 32 and 50 before they will begin to germinate. If you don't expose them to the minimum amount of cold, then they won't germinate and they will remain dormant until they do get that exposure. Usually that's not going to be very common in common vegetable plants. The most common dormancy for the traditional garden vegetables will be the heat, in particular tomatoes, okra, peppers. The solanaceous crops are going to require, I believe it's above 70 degrees before they begin germinating. So if you keep your house a little colder, you might not be able to start those seeds at this particular time, maybe once the temperatures warm up a little. But then again, they are warm season crops, so they would be in the ground around end of May, meaning that you have a little time before starting those. The seeds that you would want to start right now are the cool season crops like cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and lettuce. So those are the primary seeds to start. As mentioned before, when looking through seed catalogs, you want to look at the quantity and the germination rate. if you have saved seeds and are curious about the germination rate, you would do a paper towel test. So you want to place 10 or 20 seeds, usually a number divisible by 10, so that you can easily calculate the germination percentage, in a moist paper towel and put it in a warm part of the house in order to germinate. After 1 week, you remove any of the ones that have sprouted, and then after 2 weeks, you remove any that had sprouted but had not sprouted by the first week. And then that number out of however many seeds you tried to germinate will be your percentage. Usually, in my experience, people with more seeds don't typically have to worry about excessive, like, low germination rates. You will still get a decent crop from any seeds that you've harvested, assuming that you're planting them in a timely manner.
All right. So when is the, obviously, you know, you don't want to plant in the hard winter, but would this be an okay time to start planting or start getting ready to start planting?
Yeah. Yes. Right now, actually between now and the end of January is about the perfect time to start preparing your cool season crop seeds so that they begin growing, and then you can transplant them into the garden around the middle to end of March. It's a period from March to May where you're going to get the cool season crop growth. Starting them now and getting them into the ground early will give you time to prepare for the warm season crops, which you want to start somewhere around the middle of March for transplanting in May. The timing for individual crops can vary a little bit, and we have an article online about when to start each crop compared to when you want to get them in the ground. But that kind of window is typical for starting your plants or starting your seeds indoors. For germination, some seeds will require low light and some seeds will require a lot of light. But once everything starts sprouting, they're all going to require a lot of light. So south-facing windows are usually the best place to put seedlings so that they get the maximum light possible because the sun is so low in the sky.
The other thing I was going to ask, I've heard some things where people build kind of like artificial lights to put onto a plant. Would that also work as well?
Yes, it would. So as far as grow lights go, you can do LED, you can do incandescent. For any lights that you set up, if you go with LED, you need a mix of blue and red light. Now, if you go with white light, obviously you're going to get the entire spectrum of color. If you want to experiment with particular wavelengths of light, it affects growth in seedlings. Well, it affects growth overall, but specifically for seedlings in this context, you would want more red light because of the energy of the particular light color. Higher energy, it encourages more photosynthesis and more growth. Usually LEDs are going to be cost prohibitive, though. They're rather expensive to set up. So typically incandescent will be fine for what you need. Unless you are really interested in experimenting. I know there are a couple of people I have talked with in the district about setting up experimental light for their seedlings to see how it affects it. And that was one major part of, I believe it was greenhouse operations management in the class that I took, and the quality of light that you can give. Now, some seedlings will require supplemental light occasionally. There won't be enough light to really get them going. Mm-hmm. If you want to leave them just with natural light, it should be fine. It's just that they might lag behind a little in their growth.
All right. So so basically different color types on lights will affect the way the seedling grows. But like I said, white is, well, you'll get the whole color spectrum at that point, but the best probably is red. What would blue do the same thing, or would it that not affect it as much?
It wouldn't really affect it as much. Red is the most important color of light for plant growth. Usually, if you go to professional like greenhouses or growth chambers in like research labs, they will actually put a pink LED in because that's a mix of blue and red light. Magenta, technically, but that provides an even amount of both colors, and so you get the most even growth out of any light that you could shine on it.
No, that definitely makes sense then. So, all right, well, again, lots of good stuff there, Jesse, and if anybody wants to contact you about all of this, how can they get a hold of you?
They can reach out to me by phone, 620-724-8233. They can email me at jr637@ksu.edu, and we also have a new Facebook group specifically for gardening and landscapes in the Wildcat Extension District. That is the name of the Facebook group if people are interested in joining. I will be making regular posts on pretty much anything horticulture related. It's a good place to go for design ideas if you're looking for particular plants. Just anything ornamental or fruit and vegetable trees. It's going to be a rather eclectic group of posts at first, but it will also be a good opportunity to let people know timings of certain things when it comes to gardening. So for example, hey, it's time to start your cool season seeds indoors. Cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, and lettuce. Posts like that will be available on Facebook. It's a good place to go to basically have conversations with other people who are interested in horticulture in the district. So the name of that group, once again, is Gardening and Landscapes in the Wildcat Extension District.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Jesse. And we're going to come over to Wendy here. Wendy, we got about a minute left, but just going to preview, want to preview what you're going to be talking about here coming up in the next segment.
I am going to talk about some cool tools. So lots of different opportunities for record keeping and the way we use our technology today. So we're just going to discuss some of the different apps that are out there, different software programs that can make life easier and a little bit more profitable for your operation as well.
All right. Well, and we'll have that coming up in our next segment, starting at around 8:10. Jesse Gilmore and Wendy Powell from the K-State Extension offices here in Southeast Kansas. We're going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we will have news at the top of the hour. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. And good morning, everybody. We're back here on the Mighty 690 KGGF for some green side up. And now joining us in studio is Wendy Powell. And Wendy, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you, Kyle?
Doing pretty good. It's good to see you back in studio this week. Looks like you got quite a bit to talk about there today. So what's topics do you have in store for us today?
Well, today I wanted to discuss some great winter activities for livestock producers. Record keeping, something that always brings a smile.
The fun of stats.
Yes. So a lot of times folks make sense of their financial records just for tax purposes, end of year, follow up on different things. So production records are really what I wanted to focus on. Production records, they can run the gamut of just writing down when babies hit the ground, all the way to when vaccinations are given, to when animals are weaned, what happens to them after weaning, if you're retaining ownership on them and growing, putting them back into your herd as replacement females, keeping them as herd bulls, things like that. So all of these production records will help you keep in mind lineage. If you're keeping females or bulls back into your herd that you have grown, you certainly want to keep track of who they're out of, so you're not doing any inbreeding. And I understand that line breeding is a philosophy that a few folks around here do follow, and that's fine. But even with line breeding, we're not mating daughters with herd sires that they're out of. So anyway, I harvested on Monday some lists that I found online from various sources, and I've got 2.5 pages in front of me, Kyle, of different apps that livestock producers can and have used across the nation, mostly in the Midwest here. So
there's a ton of them to use here.
Yes, because I'm sure I only scratched the surface. Mm-hmm. And these range anywhere from prescription burn trackers. So this is an app developed by OSU in Oklahoma that allows users to monitor fire effects and keep track of prescribed burns, so you can see how productive your burns are over years. All the way down to poinsettia care tips. So maybe these are the ranchers' wives doing this one. I don't know. But there's so many different apps. So a few of them that I wanted to touch on, Rain, this app called Raindar. So it's just like radar, but with an I-N right there in front of the D.
I'm going to guess it's tracking rain.
Hey! There you go. Yeah. So it's an automated Doppler radar on Google Maps that allows you to check the weather, but it automatically focuses in on your location so you can quickly see if precipitation is coming your way.
That's pretty cool, though, that you write down your location. That way you have plenty of time to get ready, or if you're expecting some rain, that way you can let Mother Nature do the watering for you.
That's right. Yes. Or if you're applying fertilizer, you can do that appropriately and let that soak in before it gets washed off or something like that. Purina Cool Cow, if anybody around here is working with dairy operations, this is a dairy producer's app that helps you manage the impact of heat stress. So we all know that winter has cold stress problems and summer has heat stress problems. So there's actually a few different apps that deal with heat stress in my lists here. That Thermal Aid is another one from the University of Missouri, Purina Cool Cow. These both deal with decision making based on heat stress. So you can identify, monitor, and reduce heat stress. So it's going to give you some tips on what you can do.
So it's not where a cow's wearing sunglasses, so he's a cool cow. I got it all today.
That's funny. We'll move on here, Kyle.
Me and my dad jokes.
So some of the different production records that I was looking at, Ranch Records from the University of Wyoming. It's a free way to use your smartphone to keep your ranch records. And there's a tutorial video. This one's pretty cool. It's got a lot of different features to keep your production records all together in one spot. iHerd, which is a lowercase I, capital H, but it is available on Android. I thought that was interesting. A lot of those that start with I are only available on Apple programs, but this one's available on both. iHerd provides a design to simplify the herd management process for owners and managers around the world. So it's free. I'm not sure if Ranch Records is free, but those are a couple of tools that you can use whenever you're working on that. There's also an iCattle iCattle MGR Pro, like manager MGR, and then iLivestock MGR. So running livestock businesses from an iPhone specifically, the two apps work together to run the business. So some of them are production records and finances. And these two programs even allow you to like invoice vendors, and they run the whole gamut that you can do from your smartphone.
And you said those two kind of interact with each other somewhat. So
the iCattle MGR Pro and iLivestock MGR.
So there you go. Good way to kind of have your apps interact with each other and pretty much help you keep your records pretty tightly.
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's another one. I was visiting with my mom about some of my favorite apps, and she pulls this one out of her pocket, which I thought was really entertaining when we were having this conversation. Cattle Calculator from Mississippi State University Extension. This Cattle Calculator has several different abilities within it, different functions that allows you to calculate some of the things you need. So obviously it's going to have your calving date based on a breeding date, or it can project your calving date when you know what date the breeding happened. But it also, this blew my mind, it can give us our trailer density. So if you're hauling animals, you can put in the size of your trailer, and then you can put in the size of your animal, and it will tell you how many to load.
Oh my goodness, that's pretty cool.
That is so cool. I'd never seen that
before.
Don't
overload it or underload it even.
Yes.
So no, that's really cool, and I guess it gives you a maximum when you're hauling them that you don't have to worry about it being overloaded and them getting rowdy back there.
Yep.
So.
Yep, exactly. This app, Cattle Calculator from Mississippi State, also can do dosage for dewormers and medications based on the manufacturer's recommended dosage, frame score calculations, which frame scores aren't used as much these days as they used to be, but they're still out there. I mentioned the trailer stocking density already, and then yield grades as well. So this cattle calculator is pretty cool. It's not necessarily a record keeper, but it's a fun calculator.
There we go. All right. So those are some pretty cool apps there that you definitely can use. Lots of them out there, though. I guess I never even thought about how many are out there that to help out farmers and ranchers to basically help keep their records, because keeping records, it can be a very time consuming project.
It can be, and really it's sometimes I feel like I'm in a brain fog whenever I'm trying to figure out what all I want to track and how I'm going to use it, because there's not much point in keeping our records if we're not going to look back at them over the years. One more I wanted to mention real fast is called Management Minder, and this one is a K-State web-based program that you can put in a calving date or a breeding date or a weaning date. So it's based on your big events through the year, and then it will backtrack all of your tasks to do with your herd based on the date that you give it. So if you know that you're going to wean on October 15th, then you can put that in and it will tell you, when your cows need to have their energy increased in their feed for the third trimester. All of these little things that sometimes get forgotten about production that, it's just nice to have it jotted down. So whenever you put this date into this Management Minder program, it automatically backtracks all of these tasks, and then you can download it as a calendar event and just stick it right in your Google Calendar or Outlook Calendar, whatever you're using. So that's a really cool way to stay on top of each different little task that needs to be taken care of.
Because it kind of reminds you, hey, you need to do this on this day, because like you said, the farmers and ranchers are very, very busy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes some things can accidentally get overlooked. Mm-hmm. And that'll all of a sudden you get a reminder on, hey, I got to do this today. And you mm-hmm. go ahead and do that and get it done with.
Yep, that's right. That is exactly right. And then another app that I find really interesting is that it's called Canopia. And it's created by Oklahoma State University. And that's Canopeo, Canopia. And it essentially allows you to measure the cover on your pastures. So quantifying the percent of canopy cover of live green vegetation of any ag crop. So you can use this on any row crops, turf, or grassland. So you're essentially just taking a picture of the ground, and this app will automatically tell you how much of that ground is covered by growing forage or soil. And so that kind of gives you a way to calculate your grazing abilities. So whenever you know how much grass is in your pasture, then you know how much you can graze on it. And so it's another production tool that can be right there in your back pocket.
All right. So lots of great apps there. And obviously, I think most of them can be downloaded on the Apple App Store and also the Google Play Store as mm-hmm. well. Because like you said, that was odd that the one that's called what's it called, iCattle or something like that, where you can actually get it on Android as well.
Yes.
even though it has the I in front of it. Like you said, most items, I think, when they have the I in front of it, it's usually on the App Store. So lots of great apps there, though, to help out farmers and ranchers, kind of like they're, instead of having to keep it by hand or, just writing down stuff, that'll help out a lot. And it'll cut down on time as well, and it'll also probably be more accurate.
Yes.
So, yeah. So lots of great stuff there. So Wendy, if anybody does have any questions about these apps, or if they have any question about anything else, how can they get a hold of you?
I can be reached at the Altamont Extension office. That phone number is 620-784-5337. I do want to go ahead and mention that we are still taking registrations for the Ag Laws and Leases program on January 23rd. That will be a program offered virtually as well as in person at the Southeast Research and Extension Center in Parsons. So if you're visiting with us in person, we'll be providing lunch around noon, and then our program will be available at 1 p.m. And of course, you can connect virtually. So give us a call at the Extension Center or find us on our Facebook page. All of that information is also on our website. So again, that phone number is 620-784-5337.
All right. So again, that that is coming up on the 23rd. So that's going to be on a Saturday, so be sure to register for that. And like you said, it's going to be in person, or it's going to be virtual as well if you'd rather do it virtually.
That's right.
So but if you go out there, you get free food. So
that's right. Yes. And for those of you, thank you to those of you who answered the survey leases, the lease surveys, I should say. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be wrapping that program up. If you, I think those programs are still open. If you have not yet answered those surveys, go ahead and do that today or tomorrow, because at this meeting on the 23rd, we'll be summarizing that data and presenting that information to producers.
Okay, and we'd love to hear that here as well. So, again, thank you so much for coming in, Wendy. We definitely appreciate it, and you have a safe trip back.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Open Line. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.